Well, as most of you are aware, this is my first Sunday back after a month of vacation. And this week I sat down and I started working on this sermon, which I'm now delivering to you. I actually wrote that this week, what I just said, if you can believe that. But I was looking forward to flexing my mental muscles after a month's vacation. It can be hard to get back into the routine of reading and writing. I actually did something in July that I haven't done for about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. I read for pleasure. Think, let that sink in a little bit. Most of my reading is work-related, and I enjoy it, but I actually read some science fiction books over July, which was nice. But I was concerned, of course, sitting down after this break, that I might have to shake off some mental rust. And so after a word of prayer, I turned my attention to the gospel reading, which Katie just shared with us this morning. And I began to read. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father is pleased." Wait a second. Who is Jesus calling little? Now I knew I had more than a little bit of mental rust to shake off. However, that word little has stuck with me all week. Now, in our passage, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. It is they that he is referring to as his little flock. Now, the image has lots of pastoral overtones. We are reminded that Jesus is the good shepherd, that he watches over his flock, and it's an image of comfort. But why does Jesus refer to the disciples as little? What is he saying about them? Should we search and reach for deeper meaning here? Or is this just a red herring that is distracting us from deeper truths that Jesus is sharing with us in this passage? Why? Why that emphasis on little? It is said that life is comprised of moments. Little moments. We move from one moment to the next, and each of these moments comprise the whole, which is our lives. Life, then, isn't one big event. Rather, it is many little events. And when we look back at our lives, each of us can pick out many large events which have defined us. Perhaps these events are the day we graduated from school, our wedding day, the birth of children, grandchildren, the death of a spouse, or a friend. Large events, but they are not possible without a whole series of smaller, little events. We can't graduate from school if we don't go every day. We don't take the time to study and learn. We don't get married if we don't go on the first date and then the second date, and then the third, and then, oh, we're a couple? The death of a loved one is such a large and traumatic event because of all the little things which have happened before. It is these little things which define us and make us great. It is the little things which, when added together, become big things. In her book, Before I Die, Jenny Downham writes, "Moments, all gathering towards this one. Each moment gathers towards the next, so that they might seem big. But really, they are all just little moments connecting together, helping us to make sense of our lives." So what is Jesus saying when he calls the disciples his little flock? Well, I believe he's saying exactly what it looks like. That they are little. That you and you and you and you and me, we are all little. Our family units are little. But when you come together as a larger extended family, you become something larger, something greater and bigger than your own selves. That is, the accumulation of our little selves transforms into something bigger. And when enough of us come together who believe in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are not just a little movement. We are something that can change the world. And yet, we are little. We are outnumbered by those who do not believe or think as we do. And this, of course, is where our faith in God comes into play, where our hope in Jesus Christ becomes not just a passive thing that we believe, but an active thing where we go out into the world as active agents and ambassadors of Christ. Our faith is grounded in the hope we have in God's promise, which is revealed in Jesus Christ. And we attend to little things because Jesus points us to them. We attend to little things because little things are important. We should not worry that we are little in number, nor should we ever think that the work that we do is insignificant. For it is God's pleasure to provide the kingdom of heaven. Jesus points us to the work we are to do, and he tells us in our passage this morning that God wants us to spend eternity with him. God wants us to know the love of Jesus Christ. God desires this for us. And that is a deeply comforting thought. Now, you're probably all thinking, well, we aren't afraid. This makes sense, and God is with us. We're on the same side as God. Unfortunately, we've only gotten through the first sentence of 10 sentences in our passage this morning, which means either this is going to be a really long sermon or I'm only focusing on that with a little word. But those next 9 sentences that Jesus speaks, they deal with selling your belongings, saving our riches in heaven, a reminder that where our heart is, there our riches are as well. To be on guard against thieves who will come in the night, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when we are not expecting him. But Jesus said in that first sentence that God delights in giving us the kingdom of heaven. So why do I need to worry about all that other stuff? In other words, what we see here in this passage is the classic conundrum of the gospel. Salvation by grace alone is great, but it can also lead to moral torpor, to the very eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're forgiven anyway. An attitude that even the Apostle Paul dealt with in the very early days of the church. Or, to invoke a phrase attributed to the German philosopher Heinrich Heine, God likes to forgive. I like to sin. Really, the world is admirably arranged. You can laugh at that one. The minister thinks it's funny. But what's going on here? God delights in giving the kingdom of heaven. This is what Jesus tells us. So if God delights in that, do I need to work for anything? Which one? How do these two things weigh out? Which attitude do we as disciples of Christ need to adopt? Now, I hope that the answer to this question is apparent. But in case it isn't, I will spell it out. The kingdom of heaven is a free gift, and God does delight in giving it. However, our response to that gift is important. Have you ever watched a child at a birthday party or perhaps on Christmas morning as they unwrap presents? Unwrapping presents is putting it mildly. The child tears through painstakingly folded and taped down wrapping paper to get at the gift which is inside. And as they hold up the new gift, usually a toy, they beam with excitement. This is the best! I always wanted this! The process is repeated until all the gifts are opened and there is a minefield of torn wrapping paper on the floor. However, occasionally a child will open a gift and their expression isn't as joyful as they were expecting it to be. Now, I find that this tends to happen when they open grandparent gifts. Just saying. Grandparents tend to give maybe less toys and try to find some other thing that their grandchild might enjoy. And the result can sometimes be underwhelming for the child, who is waiting to see that particular toy or gift that they've always been dreaming about. The gift was freely given. It was given out of an understanding of who that child is and what they enjoy. It might not have been a flashy gift, but it was given out of love. The gift of the kingdom is like that. While it should always be present in our minds, sometimes it isn't. It seems too removed and abstract. It gets lost in the pile of wrapping paper that occurs when we drink, eat, and be merry. And this is why Jesus reminds us to focus in on what is truly important. This is why the little things matter, and why we must always consider our response to all things. To remember that all things are given to us in love, out of an understanding of who we are. We receive the kingdom with love, for it was given in love. And when we share the news of Jesus with others, that is an act of love. An act of love that says, I want you to hear about this good news. Sharing the good news with others is a little thing that amounts to great things. Friends, trust in God and the promise which has been made for each of you in your life. Amen.